Welcome to the Creating the Future podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Kraus. Claudio, thanks for coming on. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence in education.
Hot topic right now.
Yeah, let's get after it. So about a year ago, November 30th, actually, 2022, there was the release of the latest version of ChatGPT. And it had quite an impact on society. A lot of people went to that site and were doing everything from, you know, getting answers to simple questions to having papers written for them. So talk to us about kind of the basics of AGI and how it's different from search engines like Google.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. I mean, many people consider, you know, Google back in the day to be the end all be all of what is possible on the internet. But now with this artificial intelligence like ChatGPT, it's fascinating to see the next step in that evolution of what's possible online. So these artificial intelligence or generative artificial intelligences that they are referred to are based on what they call large language models. And basically what they're programmed to do is take a huge amount of text or data and use that data to be able to start to predict what would come next in language, in text, right? And so now with so many years of it being developed, it's so sophisticated that it does an amazing job of being able to predict the next word or phrase in text. And you might be thinking, well, we've kind of had that already, right? When you're texting on your phone, sometimes it has that predictive text. It's been around for a while. And that's true. We've seen generative IA for a long time, actually. You know, the map app that you use, that's generative IA, because it's predicting what's going to be your fastest route. But now with the sophistication of the amount of information that they're using, it can now produce original or text that hasn't necessarily been out there. It's really taking all of this information and really generating something new. And that's the beauty of this, is that now we can generate something that's never really been there before, but it's based on a prompt that you, the human, is giving it. And it's a fascinating way to see how these certain people are taking this and building things out of this versus Google, right? It's very much a search engine. You're searching what's out there as far as the data goes. You're searching for the best possible match to what you're looking for. This is a little different in that it's, you're asking it to generate something completely different or completely new. And that's fascinating. And that's really interesting now for online tools.
So how are major industries exploring the use of AGI?
Yeah. I mean, there's some pretty interesting use cases right now that are out there, and they certainly have made it clear that it's not perfect, that as the tool is being used more and more, and as developers and programmers continue to refine how it's being used, it's only going to get better and better at what it does. But for instance, in the healthcare industry, they're already using AI to identify and diagnose diseases, right? And that's incredible. You also have use cases such as businesses that are streamlining their workflows. And so AI can help schedule calendars, you know, and that could be really time consuming for people running a small business. If you have something that's doing that work for you, that's amazing. You're now freed up all of this time. You have also law firms that are using it because laws are changing constantly, and to be able to be up to date to that, AI has now streamlined that. And so junior legal teams are now trying to find different things to do because they don't have to do the research or all the reading that's necessary to apply the new laws that are being introduced, right? It's a fascinating evolution in how technology is being used in the workforce.
How about education? So that's obviously our industry. you know, when this first came out, I feel like there was a lot of resistance, and especially in the secondary education in colleges, because kids are figuring out like, oh, write a 5-paragraph essay on this. Here's the prompt, and
right.
spits it out in 2 seconds, and
yeah,
and they can have it written another way. And so, I feel like the education industry largely, it's just my perception, is kind of putting up some barriers and almost kind of like trying to protect what we've always done from a tool like this. But what current trends are you seeing in education with the use of AGI or kind of resistance? Like, just talk to us about AGI within the context of education.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, it's, I think, important to speak on kind of a problem in education that we've been facing ever since the kind of mass schooling or compulsory schooling kind of came about, right? When you have to teach, or you have to support students' learning and development at a scale. You have so many kids in one classroom. That could be difficult. And what we call that is actually the Sigma 2 problem, Bloom's 2-sigma problem. And what that basically says is that we know for a fact that one-to-one tutoring is the most effective way to teach, right? And so with that, how do you scale that, right? How do you scale the idea of one-to-one tutoring for all? Right now, we've gotten away with however many decades of, you know, teaching students in a classroom in the traditional sense. And it has clearly not met the effectiveness of one-to-one tutoring. And so the current trend in education when it comes to AI is, how do we solve that problem of one-to-one tutoring for all? And that's kind of the neatest part, is that now we have these ed tech companies that are really trying hard to develop this one-to-one tutoring that's responsive to students, that's responsive to their needs and to their misconceptions and their gaps in learning, especially foundational skills. And so you have a lot of ed tech companies that are popping up, Khan Academy, for instance. And if you have kids or you've been in education at all, and you know Khan Academy, you've heard of Khan Academy, it was supposed to be that personalized learning thing. Well, they're going even deeper by adding their own AI tutor. And so clearly there's a demand for this, right? Where you can get this personalized tutor, and truly, in the sense of the word personalized, it is responding to the student and how they're answering.
So I was going to touch on that because, yeah, Khan Academy came out, gosh, I don't know, 15 years ago. It's been a while now. Yeah. Been well over a decade. And for those who aren't familiar, it's essentially a compilation of a bunch of like YouTube videos, instructional videos that walk you through how to do everything from basic math to, you know, high school level, college level history.
Yeah.
So how is this generative AI different than like just going on YouTube and, okay, I have a question about trigonometry or how to do this, or so how are AI engineers kind of crafting a technology that's going to be different than the Khan Academy of 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. They flipped the classroom. They flipped the learning model, right? They had videos online at the disposal of anybody. Anybody could access it. Anybody could go and watch a video and learn, quote unquote, learn how to do something, right? And learn the steps on how to do something. But there was never really that feedback that they were getting. And the biggest difference is that they're getting that feedback. They're getting feedback in the immediate time, because typically you would answer a question on Khan Academy and see that you got it wrong. And that's feedback, but it's not feedback about what you got wrong or how you got it wrong or what steps you got wrong. What mistakes did you make? Now this AI is able to identify, this is the mistake you made, and this is how you fix it, or this is how you this is how you go back into that process and learn and really have a tutor almost sitting there in front of you, walking you through how to make sure you're getting and understanding that. And that's impressive stuff, right? So that's for, I think, at scale, you know, are the biggest trend right now, is these ed tech companies are really racing to provide this AI tutor that's going to supposedly change the game. But there's also, you know, what does that mean for a small school? What does that mean for, you know, a school down the street that, you know, doesn't necessarily maybe have the funds to have every student in front of a computer and being able to use AI? So how do we use AI in a classroom or in a school setting that's more, I guess, meeting the needs or meeting the current requirements of what students are learning and doing in the classroom, right?
So that brings me to a question here about how can schools, from the neighborhood school to the very large district, you know, multi-thousand student schools, how do they prepare for this? It seems like an inevitability. So what can schools do now to prepare their students and their staff for this technology, whether it's next year, 5 years? Again, it seems like this is a tool that's going to be here to stay. So what can schools do to prepare for this?
I think first and foremost, they need to look at their culture and the mindsets that they have in the school, right? Because like any tool, if you don't have the mindset to be able to use that tool efficiently and in a responsible way, that's going to amplify what you're already learning, then it really is just going to be another online tool, right? And how many districts are already subscribing to all of these online tools? It will just end up being something like that. But if the school culture is built on student agency and student ownership of their learning, then this can be a really, really vital tool to amplifying what they're working on.
Why? Why is student agency, in your opinion, important in order for AI to be like properly leveraged?
Mostly because the students who are motivated to learn, are motivated to go deep into any particular area or project or whatever they're creating, the agency needed for that is going to be the most important piece for them to use a tool effectively, right? And so if they're motivated to, or I guess more so than anything, if they want to take agency of their own learning, they can use this tool to do that more effectively, to do a deep dive into that, versus if they don't have that agency, they're going to be waiting to be told what to do and what to use.
Yeah, see, that seems to me like that school for most kids, mm-hmm. is they show up and wait for direction. Teachers in charge. I feel like our system of education for as long as we've known it is very teacher-centered. Everything flows through the teacher. The teacher establishes the rules. They tell everyone what to work on, when to work on, with whom to work on it. And so that seems like it would create a culture of just complacency, mm-hmm. and kind of a passive learning experience for kids. So that's going to be an uphill battle, I feel like, for a lot. You speak of the importance of a school's culture, and being more focused on the student and kind of creating the conditions for students to take initiative, mm-hmm. right? And that's, gosh, you don't just flip a switch to get that, right? That's going to be, I feel like that's going to be a really painful experience for a lot of schools who are so used to a control-based approach to learning, right? That's going to be hard.
Yeah, I agree. You know, if you have this tool, right, and you have, to your point, they're being told what to do and kind of a control-based setting and compliance, the tendency will be for a student in that system to want to find the shortcuts, mm-hmm. right? Want to find the easiest way out, because I know if I get this done, I'm going to make whoever happy and I'll just be able to kind of breeze on by and float through, right? And that creates the conditions for what the fear is for AI right now, right? That creates the conditions for students plagiarizing, students using this tool to basically write their papers for them. Well, that's because what you're asking them to do has no meaning behind it, has no purpose. And when it comes to student ownership and agency, it's all about purpose. It's all about the why. Why am I doing this? Why am I using AI to write this paper? Well, because I have these ideas and I need support or I need help to get those ideas down. And when this AI is able to support me in that way, if I'm using this tool effectively, then my writing is going to be that much better, right? Versus I'm using AI because this is the assignment and I need the grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that saying that technology will make old things easier, but it should make new things better.
Mm-hmm.
So let's project into the future a little bit here. What do you see as kind of a best case scenario as far as how AI positively impacts the education industry? So, you know, clearly some things that we've always done are no longer going to be needed anymore, but there's technology that makes those old things easier. So now we should be in pursuit of new things. So what is school of the future need to look like? And how do you see AI kind of facilitating that best case scenario?
Best case scenario means it's allowing the true purpose of school to really come to fruition, right?
Which is what? What's the true purpose of school?
Is to make connections, is to build vital skills in a safe environment, right? And so more so than anything, it's going to free up a lot of what can be seen as the really task-oriented or kind of mundane but cognitively heavy load on teachers of having to grade, having to plan, having to do all those things, when we could just focus on what's most important. And that's building connections, connecting the learning, and, you know, allowing students to reach those passions, right? And so when we open up the doors and we find the freedom to be able to do things that actually matter, the school of the future is going to be a place for that, for students to work collaboratively, to work on passion projects, and to create, and more so than anything, create, versus right now what can be seen as kind of the very traditional sense of schooling, of like, sit down and, you know, receive the lecture, do the assignment, turn it in for the grade, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, school is a test prep factory, and mm-hmm. So AI is like built to take standardized tests.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So this is a very different future, what you're talking about, where students are making stuff, like they're creating, they're finding solutions to really complex issues. And that can start early in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. These kids are capable if we emphasize questions more than we do answers, right? That's so much of school is like, get the answer, but mm-hmm. we're not spending enough time asking questions that are open-ended, that get kids to think and to wonder and inquire and like blaze trails, right? So that test prep model I can see is gonna have a hard time evolving with AI, because AI can do all of that. And so I feel like, again, like I spoke to earlier, I think there's gonna be a lot of like protective measures that districts and probably teachers unions take to kind of almost insulate themselves from this tool sabotaging too much of what they do.
At the cost of the student experience,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
yep. And I think, and I want to mention this, is that, you know, the writing seems to be on the wall for, you know, when it comes to test prep and the future for even that, right? When it comes to the ultimate, what is considered the ultimate test or standardized test, right? AP, if you've ever taken an AP course, or you've ever, you know, heard of AP classes, the College Board is the one who oversees AP, right?
Which is Advanced Placement.
Advanced Placement. Mm-hmm. And Advanced Placement, AP US History, is considered the mother of all standardized tests, right? And the hardest of the hard. It's so ridiculous, because even in the course of a school year, you wouldn't be able to complete and cover all of the things that this AP exam is asking you. And so in a way,
you get like a day to cover the Civil War, yeah, for example.
You're basically set up for failure, yeah, in the standardized test. And the College Board, you know, is well aware of these things, right? But they're also well aware of what the future holds. They are now starting to develop these AP courses that are project based. Mm. And what does that mean for the company that's developing these standardized tests to now go project-based with some of their courses? That means they're seeing that the trends of, first and foremost, whether or not students are prepared for college because of their courses is really put in under a microscope now. Like, when they're getting the feedback that most of their students who are going through these AP courses aren't prepared or dropping out of college because of the lack of skills, that's a problem. And so they're addressing those problems by developing their AP courses with a project-based mindset, and which is phenomenal from our perspective at the lower levels, that we're already thinking in terms of how can the project-based approach set up our students for success with the skills necessary. And that's the most important thing, is are they leaving us with the skills necessary to be effective and to be contributing citizens in the world? And right now, to hear that from the College Board, that project base is how they're solving that problem, well, then we're on the right track, because they're also probably taking into consideration AI and what that means for their students. That means for their students that, yeah, AI can take these tests better than they can. So what are they left to do? They're left to hopefully build things, create things, and be involved in things and solving problems, real problems.
Yes. I mean, some of the things that we've done on our campus the last couple of years with, you know, the tortoise habitat and building these learning patios and check dams, like AI can't do that, right? Like that requires, and I think the use of AI to do a lot of what we've always done, making that easier, is going to free up a lot more time for our adults and our students to be human, like you said, right, to make connections, to have an awareness of their community and what those community needs are. Gosh, that's what school should be. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Gosh, we've got flooding in our preschool pre-K buildings. Well, why is that? Oh, wow. Okay. You got this water runoff and this erosion. Like, well, let's solve that. Okay. Fourth graders, let's go to work on it. What are earthworks? I don't know. Partner with watershed management. Oh, let's solve this real world problem. And we're on our way to that. Right. You know, that's stuff that AI can't touch. And so there is this fear out there in some discussions with educators that, oh, AI is just going to take over our jobs. Like, we don't need teachers anymore. What would you say to that?
I would say that they're looking at the problem the wrong way, right? And that, first and foremost, there's already companies out there that are developing ways for schools to be able to identify when AI has been used for, you know, essays and whatnot. So that problem is going to be solved, right? Just as they've done with, you know, in the past with standardized tests and whatnot. They know when somebody has cheated. And just like in the past, you know, when the graphing calculator came out, you know, educators are savvy enough to be able to start developing ways to be able to work around these things, to not only it being just a tool that's supporting the learning, but an effective tool that's supporting the learning. And so AI hopefully will be another tool in their tool belt to be able to support what the experiences they're creating in the classroom. And that's going to be the neatest part about this, is how is it going to free up your time to get down to what matters, right? I know you got into education for a reason, and that reason isn't to grade papers, do lesson plans, build rubrics. It's to make connections with the students. It's to support the students in and facilitate their learning opportunities that are going to be really, really meaningful.
Yeah, you think of the things that get set aside in a kind of a test prep culture, things that get set aside are building community. you know, and establishing relationships and seeing conflict on the playground, for example, as an opportunity to learn instead of this nuisance that I can't deal with that because we have this lesson to cover because my building supervisor in the district have deemed it really important to kind of keep up, you know, so to speak. So the things that get pushed aside end up festering, you know, which is, again, the human connection, relationships. And so, gosh, I would think that teachers should be really stoked about this because it will allow them to spend more time building community, establishing connections, seeing inevitable, you know, conflict, relational conflict as an opportunity to teach, you know, that's really exciting. And, you know, going back to what you talked about with culture, like that's how you build a culture, right? Is through connection.
That's right. And that's going to be the ultimate question for a student is like, why do I have to go to school? What's the point of going to school? And they're going to want to come to a school where they're going to be making those connections and collaborating with others and
building stuff,
making right? Stuff. Mm-hmm. What kid wouldn't want to come to school to do those things versus do I have to go to school because, you know, we're going to do some worksheets?
Yeah, I'm not feeling too compliant today.
Right.
You know, yeah, I think that's something that probably every parent who's a listener of school-age kids, you can relate to often, you know, having to drag your kid out of bed. And, you know, not to say that, you know, isn't going to be the case, you know, every now and then, but yeah, I think that's oftentimes a symptom of lacking something to look forward to. Right. And imagine a school experience that, you know, more often than not, kids are pretty excited to be about because they're going to make something that didn't exist before.
That's right.
You know, I think there's something innate in all of us as humans to want to improve our surroundings and kind of have some autonomy in solving those problems and having clear purpose. And that's a really great book. I would recommend anyone listening. Daniel Pink's book, Drive, argues that the three main ingredients that drive people and that motivate us are autonomy, purpose, and mastery. And those things pretty much don't exist in school as we know it. There's not really an autonomy. Everything's laid out for you, really.
That's right.
There's really no purpose other than to take a test, right? And we're not really mastering anything other than, you know, things that computers can do, right? So I feel like if those ingredients were just, if every school was just doused in those, you know, autonomy, mastery, and purpose, I think we'd have this might sound hyperbolic, a totally different world we'd be living in.
Yeah. So I think the next thing to kind of consider is like, okay, what are we doing here at TCDS?
Yeah, right? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Currently, a part of our professional development program for our teachers has included Socratic seminars. And we recently shared an article on AI, kind of outlining the possible benefits of AI in school and education, right? And so we had a Socratic seminar discussion with the staff about this. And from there, it pretty kind of expected temperature on how everybody's feeling about AI, right? Some of us are a little worried, and some of us are, you know, are diving right in already, right? And using it as a tool. So from there, I've asked a couple of the staff members to be a part of a task force that we're going to basically continue exploring tools for educators as AI continues to come out with various effective tools for our teachers, but also responsibly exploring it, right? I have one teacher who's consistently sending me rubrics generated by AI. And that's kind of the neatest part about this is that when a teacher is exploring it, they're starting to realize like, okay, it's not perfect. And you still have a lot of say in what is being generated and how you're using that, right? And so these rubrics that this teacher is sending me, I provide some feedback like, yeah, this one's a little too wordy, or you're going to probably have to clarify with the students what each of these categories mean, right? Or these words mean, or what they're alluding to. And that's kind of been the neatest thing regarding how we're using AI, is that we can ask it to generate these things, lesson plans, rubrics, and whatnot, but it's still going to take a little bit of us of refining and bringing that human touch, right? Mm-hmm. And especially the human touch that you, the educator, brings, their own personal style, their own personal flavor. And that's awesome. I mean, for a teacher to be exploring it and to familiarizing themselves with it and how it works and applying it in their classroom is really neat to see. The broadcast project or class, I should say, they're using it to help them write their prompts for when they're writing their scripts for their broadcasts. You know, if you haven't tuned into, you know, one of the broadcasts, it's really neat to see how the students are using these prompts and these scripts so that they're bringing clarity to what information they're sharing about what's going on at TCDS. So that's the kind of use that I see amplifying what we're doing, right? Is that it can help our students be better communicators. It can help our teachers be better planners and more effective planners.
So just jumping in.
Jumping right? in.
Little by little, get a group together that uses this tool, talk about it. What's working, what's not. I mean, it sounds like a pretty simple but really important next step that we're taking as far as, you know, trying to understand how this tool can benefit our community. Super exciting stuff. Claudio, I appreciate you coming on today and giving us a little tidbit of AGI in education. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.